Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Amos chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, and then 21 through 24. You can read along. Seek good, 854, in the Old Testament of your pew Bible. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of God for the people.
There I was, minding my own business, taking care of my cattle and sheep. The Bible says sycamore, but in Judea, in Samaria, in Galilee, we call what you call, what we call them fig trees. I would cut the fruit just a little bit so it would grow better. But there I was, just taking care of my business, doing my thing that I needed to survive, and this assignment from God shows up. This assignment from God for which I hadn't been to prophet school. I'm not from a family of prophets. And God says, I want you to go to the northern kingdom. Now, this is about 200 years after Solomon leads such a terrible leadership of the unified kingdom of Israel that the 10 tribes to the north come in and say, you know, we're going to go to the north and we're going to have our own king. And Jeroboam is the king in the north. My king's Hezekiah. I'm in the south. I'm about 10 miles south of Bethlehem at Tekoa. And I am there taking care of sheep. I'm there taking care of cattle. I'm there in season taking a pole and touching up to the figs and opening them so that they can be fruitful. And then this assignment comes along. This assignment to go to the north and talk to King Jeroboam and tell Jeroboam that he's not doing a very good job being the king. Believe me, I was scared. Believe me, that gave me a lot of pause as to what I should do. And what was wrong in the north? What was going on in the north? They were said to be said. Well, for one, they were selling people into slavery. And basically, people owed just a little bit of money. A little bit of money that a crop had not come in right. And they owed this money. Think of a few pennies. And they were being sold into slavery for that. The poor were not being cared for. God is interested in caring for the poor. And the king and all those with power in the north had forgotten the poor. They were not honoring women. They were treating women as if they were property and just moving them around from father to son. They had forgotten the big quartet of widows, orphans, immigrants, and the poor that the Torah would tell them was important. So my task was to proclaim a message of justice for all. Justice for all of the children in the north. Now, you may think the term justice has to do with like juries and lawyers and judges, and it does. There's an element of that is indeed part of the story. In Hebrew, can also be part of the story. The word mishpat in Hebrew can also mean their due. You would spell it in English, D-U-E. Their due, what they're entitled to. And God lays out for the widows, the orphans, the poor, the immigrants, what it is that God expects for them to be provided. What is their due? Now, this message with me, prophetic message of speaking the truth to power, doesn't die with me when the northern kingdom is killed and captured and run off. No, you're followers of Jesus. You call yourself Christians. That means little Christs. Christ's very first sermon in the Gospel of Luke will focus on this. He'll bring in passages out of Isaiah, and he'll remind the community there in Capernaum, in the synagogue there in Capernaum, that his message is important of carrying God's word, God's spirit, God's holy sacrifice on behalf of God in the world out to lepers, out to the deaf, out to the blind, and proclaim this as the year of the Lord's favor. That would be the beginning of his ministry in Luke. Near the end of his ministry in Matthew, he would be telling the community there about what was important. You have often served me. And they would say, his disciples would say, when have we done this? When have we served you? He said, you serve the least of these, my sisters and brothers, you have served me. I wonder if this is one of the things that caused the community to say, we need to get this guy up on a cross. We need to kill him because he's dangerous. This is radical material here. He's going to lead a rebellion. He's going to lead a rebellion and a radical nature of what it is that we are called to do as part of the religious authorities of our day. That was the way it was in 785 BC when I was asked to go speak to Jeroboam. And the question really was asked of, did I want to be a chaplain to the empire, or did I want to be a prophet of resurrection, a prophet of rebellion, a prophet of rebellion? Because this God message, rebellious message, it can cause us to get out into life in such a way that it's just a little danger of how it is that we go about following this Jesus. Now, Jesus would say these were important to him just as they were important to me, Amos, the first of these written prophets. It would be important to all the prophets that would come behind. And I would pray that it's important to you today. It's been important in many of you a lifetime, and the lifetimes of many of you, because you've known the words of Martin Luther King Jr. He would use these words that I would give to Jeroboam in his sermon in front of the Lincoln Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, in April of 1963. And he would remind people that it was important for us to let justice roll down like waters, like an ever-forceful stream. An area which is very dry. They don't have a lot of water. They don't have a lot of water, and when water does come, it can be very persistent. And what I was saying to this community is that the water isn't just seasonal. It isn't just something that comes in once in a while when the rains occur. Rather, it's a persistent, ever-ongoing stream. That's what God's plan is for justice. So, what is that message for you now in your 21st century, some 3,000 years later after I've proclaimed this to Jeroboam's community there in Israel, there in the north. Your pastor would go and preach this good news at the rescue mission of Salt Lake on Friday night, just 2 days ago. And it's one about speaking on behalf of the powerless. It was fascinating watching that community. He told me about experiencing that and using this imagery of power and powerlessness and watching 100 faces light up with joy and understanding that they are part of the powerless and that they can be part of speaking the truth to power. What else are we to do with this? I mentioned the quartet of widows, orphans, poor, and the immigrants. But my guess is there's something in your own experience that is important to you that you feel passionate about. Vocation can sometimes be defined as where the passion of our heart meets the world's greatest need. The passion of our heart meets the world's heart. What is that need that causes you to be able to want to go speak the truth to power? I've got bad news for you. This following Yahweh, this following Jesus, this following the Holy Spirit stuff can be dangerous. It can be very, very dangerous. But you are speaking the truth to power to ensure that those on the outside of power get their due, what it is that they're entitled to. Where is your heart set on fire? Is it homelessness? Is it veterans and mental illness issues? Is it fill in the blank that works for you? That quartet that God was worried about with Jeroboam, widows, orphans, poor, immigrants. That's not the only list. You, and go about speaking the truth to power so that changes occur. Risky. You might lose a friend or two. You might have to go down and spend some night at a family promise kind of place with people inside, spending the night with them. There's all kinds of things you might have to do. But it's what God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are calling you to do. Go back to that comment that God made to me in Tekoa. I had two choices. I could be a chaplain to the empire and let the status quo stay exactly where it was, or I could take this prophetic mantle and could go to the north and could speak the truth to power. I could be a chaplain to the empire, or I could be a prophet of the rebellion. That was the choice. Being a follower of Christ Jesus is and can be a rebellious act. Where are you? What is God calling you to do in this invitation? You don't have to have gone to prophet school. You don't have to have formal education in being a prophet. All you have to do is to be prepared to listen to God speak to you and give you the message. What message is that? Let justice roll down like waters. Let it be an ongoing, constant stream. That's the message for us. That's the message for us to understand that it isn't about coming into worship and God rejecting our worship. That's not what's happening in this scene at all. What's happening in this scene is the fact that if you come in and worship and your hearts are not changed, then God rejects that quality of worship. The idea is not, God says, altered by the worship experience. And if we're not, God says, we have not been properly challenged, that we are not responding in the way. So when God comes down and says, I reject your worship. I reject your rituals. He's saying he rejects them when the worshiper is not changed. The issue is not the worship. The issue is the worshipers. Do they change? I'm going to send you forth with a blessing. Gracious, loving, merciful God, remind us that we who are your followers must be changed by your words. If we come in and say, this is just who I am, and I'm going to leave with your message inside the room and not take it out into your world, we are failing to understand. Let us be prepared for the quality and the strength of your message. Let us be prepared to speak the truth to power in all that we do. And I think normally the way you end your prayers here are, and all of God's children say, amen. Amen.
Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.